You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Amen. It's good to hear them sing and magnify the Lord at their age and just that will carry them through much. Amen. Hallelujah. Down the years. Amen. It's a blessing. Blessing to hear them magnify the Lord. Amen. Amen. I greet you in the personal name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to welcome personally all friends and guests who have come out today that might have come out today and to the entire church family. God bless you. Amen. I'd like to acknowledge also the reverends that share this pulpit with me weekly. Amen. God bless you guys. And also the deacon and trustees. God bless you guys. We love you. I love you very much. Amen. Hallelujah. And nevertheless, I love to acknowledge my wonderful, outstanding pastor, Pastor Charles Twyman. Amen. And his magnificent, wonderful, lovely wife. God bless you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the word. Just have a short words of prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you. We magnify you. We exalt your great, holy, and matchless, wonderful name. You have been good, so kind, God, and down through the years, even to this moment, very precious moment. God, I'm asking you as I come forth to bring this word, Lord, that you be with me, that you help me, because I can't do it without you. I need your strength. I need your Holy Spirit that lives within me to anoint, God, this message and to bless it, that those that are here today and even those beyond these walls may be blessed and encouraged and strengthened, God, that no one leave the way they came. May they leave more blessed, more encouraged, more strengthened than they were before they came, God. We love you. We magnify you. We praise your great, holy, and matchless name. Our trust and faith and hope is in you and you alone. We love you, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Pastor, I just wanted to say I'm like a kid in a candy store. I want to jump up and down and just turn all around. And just, I just love you. I just want to share Seder with you personally. I just love, thank you. I'm so glad to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I pray that you do. Please go with me in the New Testament. We're going to go to the book of St. John, the 14th chapter. I'm sorry, forgive me, the book of Philippians, forgive me. The book of Philippians, I'll go there later. We go to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 3. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. Verse 20 and 21, we'll be looking at. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I'll be reading from the New Living Bible's translation, so if yours sound different from mine, that's okay. It says here, verse 20 and 21, it says here, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Amen. I take the title of this message, from the very first beginning, the very first few verses, it says, we are citizens of heaven. Amen. That right there just make you shout. We are citizens of heaven. And I entitled this message today, For Heaven's Sake. Amen. For heaven's sake. I like to start this sermon, this message, reading from the Word of God, from the words of Christ. Jesus says in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this was not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. Amen. If you're saved here today, if you gave your life to Christ, if you're born again, hopefully you think about heaven every day. And I must admit, I think about them all day. It's a wonderful to know that we are his creation and made in his likeness. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, God himself put eternity into man's heart. And every human being, whether, you know, whatever they want to believe it or not, they have an intuitive sense of God's existence. He put that intuitive sense of himself inside of all of us. People may try to worship other things, but they know he put that intuitive sense inside all of us. And God has put his glory on display for us in everything he has created. No matter where we look, we see the manifestations of God's wisdom, power, and greatness. The sad truth is, none of us can truly enjoy the pure reality of heaven. We are fallen creatures, tainted with sin. And it is sin that affects our thinking, our desires, even our imagination. We can't even discern our own hearts. For the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, that would have been all right if he would have stopped right there. But then he goes on to say, who can understand it? without God, without Christ being the light from heaven, our sin nature is full of darkness. So I'm so glad that the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. As Bible-believing Christians, heaven should always be on our mind, in our mindset, and our goal. But in this world we live in, our enemy, Satan, will constantly try to set potholes and distractions in our way. And I say to you, he will do just about anything to get our minds off of heaven. Whether the distraction is mentally, physically, and even spiritually, he wants our minds off of heaven. And rather, he would rather it be on materialism. Because the love of materialism is sin. It's okay to have stuff, you know. There's nothing wrong with having a car and having a house. There's nothing wrong with having your furniture in your home, but don't love it. Don't love that stuff. Enjoy it, I say to you, but don't love it. For the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world. Here it is right here. Or the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's not from the Father, but from the world. But whosoever does the will of God will live forever. When I talk to different people, it's amazing to me when I talk to them about heaven, how they feel so humdrum about heaven. They just, you know. I'm thinking they're having a fit or something. They're so humdrum. No excitement just about heaven. You see, it's boring to people who have substituted large appetites for worldly joys instead of worship. Sometimes I wonder, have we forgot what it is to long for heaven? I believe we are in danger of becoming so comfortable we forget that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 10, that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And like Abraham, we're supposed to think of ourselves as vagabonds here on this earth. We are supposed to be looking forward to the city that has foundations, who designer and builder is God. We're living in an era of earthly immediate gratification. It goes something like this. I want what I want when I want it. And I want it right now. Immediate gratification. As Christians, children of God, we ought to set our affections on things above. Because it's too easy to become absorbed in the temporal and neglect what is eternally important. Well, Jesus sums it up for us. He sums it up in the proper order of priorities when he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. We get so wrapped up in stuff, but he says seek first. So we won't get confused. Earn it, seek first the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I say to myself, earn it, seek first. In reality, everything that is truly precious to us as Christians is in heaven. The love for heaven. Yes, heavenly things does not start when we get to heaven. It should have already started. As you daily read your Bible, and I hope you're reading your Bible, but as you daily read your Bible, not every month, not once a month, once a year, every day, you should be reading your Bible. But as you read your Bible, you should begin to cultivate. Cultivate a love for heavenly things. You see, it's the love of God and the hope of heaven that fills us with joy and anticipation. It is the love of God and the hope of heaven that will loosen any grip that the world would try to have on us. It's the love of God and the hope of heaven that'll make you laugh when you want to cry. It's the love of God and the hope of heaven that'll make you walk right when you want to go left. It's the love of God and the hope of heaven that'll put love in your heart and take hate out. It's the love of God and the hope of heaven that will keep you in church when everyone else stays home. It's the love of God and the hope of heaven that will keep you on your knees. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 23, says that in heaven, even our failing bodies will be redeemed, glorified. Now, just hearing that, you would think a glorified body alone would be a good reason to fix our hopes and affection on heaven. We should long to be clothed with our heavenly form and look forward to being absent from the body and present with the Lord. We should become more preoccupied with the glories of eternity and not with the affliction of the day. Allow me give you a few things that could preoccupy your mind in case you're not preoccupied with the heavenly things. Let me give you a few things. In heaven, there be no sin, suffering, sorrow, or pain. Let me give you a few things that occupy your mind. In heaven, there be no temptation, persecution, division, disunity, or hate. Let me give you something that occupy your mind. There be no quarrels, disagreements, and disappointments. There be no need for prayer, fasting, repentance, or confession of sin. There be no unanswered questions, confusion, and you will never, ever have to worry. Not too long ago, when I was catching the bus back and forth to get around before I had my vehicle, a gentleman came up to me and he said, I had my bike, I put my bike on the bus. He put a knife in my towards my back and he says, give me your bike. I looked at him, and first thing comes to mind, Ernie, take him out. Just take him out. Just finish this right now. I was a boxer, so I could just take him out. But I said, no, that ain't right. So I gave him the bike, and I said, what else you want? He said, give me the money in your pocket. I reached in and got the money out and gave it to him. I said, what else do you want? He said, well, give me your watch. I said, took the watch. Gave it to him. I said, what else do you want? Well, I don't want nothing else. I said, you got to want something else. You just took everything else. What else do you want? And he got on the bike and he rode away. Well, about 2 months later, I was catching the bus and the bus was jam-packed. And there was no seats but one seat. There was people standing up and no one would take that one seat. And I got on the bus and I realized I'm going to sit next in that seat there. I went and got sit in that seat and lo and behold, it was the brother that took my bike and took my wallet and took my watch. And when I sat down, he looked at me and said, oh. I said, how you doing, brother? He said, he had nothing to say. Then I said, how you doing, brother? He said, I'm doing fine. I said, you enjoying the watch? Are you enjoying the bicycle? Yes, sir. I don't have it anymore. He said, I sold it. I said, oh, you need the money. Yeah. So that gave me an opportunity to witness to him about Christ. I said, my brother, as I shared with him about the Lord, he began to cry. Then the tears began to roll down his face. He was about 40 years old. Tears began to run down his face, and I said, would you like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? Would you like to give your life to Christ? He said, yes. And we said the repentance prayer, and he gave his life to Christ. He grabbed me and leaned on my shoulder. But, you know, it is the loving hope of heaven. that gives us joy, that gives us strength, that keeps us going on when everything is going wrong. And I say to you today, hold on to Christ. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on to hope, because hope is only in Christ. There's a hope that we can look to, because heaven is real. Heaven is a place. That's what Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place of perfect, undiluted joy. You'll finally know what it is like to have perfect love. You see, it must be that way. Why? Because heavenly perfection is never altered. You know, when you come to the end of a book, you read a book or watching a movie, they sometimes say at the end of the movie or the book, the end. You know, when you're checking out of here, when you finally leave this world, you can say the end. That's a joy, because you don't have to face all this stuff anymore. And I'm closing. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took our place and died for you and me. Hallelujah. He stood up and stepped down from his throne in heaven. Came through 42 generations. Virgin born in a manger. He walked this earth. He healed the sick. Raised the dead. Fed the thousands. To prove that he was the Son of God. He went to the cross. It was there they hung him high. And stretched him wide. It was there he suffered. And died for your sins and mine. But with his last words, he said, it is finished. They took him down from the cross. Buried him in the borrowed tomb. He stayed in the grave 3 days. But on the third day, early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. With all power over sin, death, and the grave. Just like he said he would. But why? Well, so that you and I may have eternal life and be with him in heaven. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.